I want to talk this week about our risen friend, who is Jesus. And we're talking about Jesus as our friend because he is our friend. You know, the resurrection is a very important part of our faith relationship with God. It is because of the resurrection that we have faith. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then we would only be a dead sect like a lot of religions around the world. But our God was come and was crucified, dead and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, breaking that bondage over sin and death. So we have a resurrected friend named Jesus. I was looking at some of the articles and different things, and I like to listen to all the news people. I look at all of them. I don't agree with a lot of them, but I look at all of them because I want to have a broad perspective of what's going on in the world. And there was a segment on CNN that they talked about atheist chaplains. Now, atheist chaplains, that kind of got my attention a little bit, because I'm thinking, what are they doing, atheist chaplains? You know, you have chaplains in the hospital and atheists. You have chaplains in the services and chaplains, atheist chaplains. Well, I thought, wow, they must be forging a new path and changing the world. And atheist chaplains who are now working in institutions and the prisons around the country, and I thought, wow. But I got to thinking, even as the population of America moves away from religion, the desire for spirituality and connectedness remains. Fundamental questions about faith, long answered. Like, why are we here and what's it mean to have a meaningful life? Are just as urgent and relevant for non-religious people, evidently, especially as humanity grapples with the existence and the existential threats and technology advances and all the stuff that are shaping our world. And, you know, it's confusing. But they went on to talk about where religious-affiliated chaplains might lean on the teaching of their faith to guard others through the crisis, where atheist chaplains draws on the philosophies of Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and Tupac Shakur, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, well, forgive my cynicism, but if I was dying, I would want somebody who could give me a word from God and tell me how to do life, not float like a butterfly or sting like a bee. I want to approach God of the universe through the agency of a Savior who died for me and is now alive and interceding in my behalf as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now, I think the Jesus story can't be truthfully told without headlining his resurrection. As I said, the resurrection is the key to our relationship with God. And he was killed on a wooden cross, wrapped in a burial shroud, placed in a borrowed tomb, sealed in the cold blackness of death with a heavy stone rolled in front of the tomb. And then 3 days later, he was walking and talking. And he's still alive, more alive than anyone else on the face of the earth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 19, he said, "Because I live, you will live also." Now, what I want to say about John chapter 14 as our base scripture this week has to do with your resurrection, which are based on his. And no, that's not a typo. Resurrections. Because when we belong to Christ, we also are resurrected people. First, we move from death to a life in a spiritual sense when we meet him and proclaim him as Lord and Savior. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says that when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Hallelujah! I think that's a pretty powerful statement. He made us alive with Christ spiritually. What makes you spiritually alive? It's the joining of the right church, reading of the right translation of the Bible. You know, there's a bunch of translations out there. Singing the right songs, picking the right hymns, choosing the right denomination, or is it keeping the right set of rules? I don't think it's any of those things. The only way to find spiritual life is through the personhood of Jesus Christ. He is the center of our story. God sent His Son, and He is the incarnation, God in the flesh appearing. Every component of that matters. And there's not many ways to God. No, He is the only way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way. No one can come to the Father except through me." So don't be afraid of offending someone with the exclusive message of Jesus Christ. I don't know why sometimes we are very timid about our faith, that we don't want to talk about Him in other areas of our lives, you know, at the sports stadium, at the grocery store. We ought to be talking about our relationship with Christ everywhere we go. Because when it comes to sports, we can be pretty dogmatic, can't we? Especially Florida State football fans. Well, Florida State's the only one. Well, I digress. You know, it's our children's games or our favorite teams. And when it comes to politics, we can be straightforward and tout our party lines. So if we're overcharged in a hotel, what do? We run right down to the front desk and we speak up. But when it comes to saying that Jesus is uniquely superior and exclusively the way to God, we seem to be timid and afraid. Oh, we may offend someone who believes differently. Well, we surely shouldn't be angry or belligerent or condemning or ugly, but we also are and should be advocates for Jesus as the only pathway to God. Jesus wasn't afraid to say that, nor should we. You know, hesitate. No, it's actually a wonderful truth that we should share. There's a way to live forever and have life abundantly. That way exists, and it's through Jesus Christ alone. People need this very real spiritual and internal resurrection. They need to pass from death to life, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. They need to replace their despair with hope. And we should be at least eager and unapologetic to share Jesus, just as the atheist chaplain shares things from Muhammad Ali or Malcolm X or even Tupac Shakur. Well, when we meet our friend Jesus, we really begin living. We become spiritually alive. That's the part of our soul that was dead and then suddenly comes to life. It's an amazing thing, and I remember when I finally surrendered to Christ and invited Him into my life for real. My life is different. It had changed. There was something different about me. Even my friends noticed, "Hey, there's something different about you, Ralphie. What happened?" And then I get to share the grace and the love of what happened to me because of the internal resurrection. The internal resurrection leads to our second resurrection, the rising and the glorifying of our bodies when Jesus comes for us. As He breaks the eastern sky, Scripture tells us. What a wonderful thing. And if we die before He comes for us, then we have a place in heaven. Jesus said in the first part of John 14 that I went to prepare a place for you. I like to say one translation said many resting places. I like that. But anyhow, Jesus not only prayed for the sick on more than one occasion, He raised them back to life. The Gospel of Matthew describes one of these times. It says a Jewish synagogue leader came to Jesus weeping and telling Him that his daughter had died. The Lord then went with the man. And it's quoted in Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's home and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, He said, "Go away, the girl's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at Him. Have you ever been laughed at? You know, it is a humiliating moment sometimes, but people laughed at Jesus, so don't be surprised if they laughed at you for being His disciple or speaking up for Him. in Matthew chapter 20, in verses 25 and 26, and that after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by her hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout the region. Now, I'm sure news spread like wildfire, especially something like that, and I wish I could have been with those parents and seen their response. What do you think that dad had to say? Or the mom? And say, well, thank you, Lord, for stopping by. Would you like to have a cup of coffee? No, I think they marveled, as we talked about that last week. Our marvelous friend. They marveled. Now, sometimes, you know, I had a daughter that was died that was 8 days old from what they called a crib death at that time, and now they call it sudden death, infant, whatever. That happens. And sometimes when I'm doing services, especially for young people, and people are standing around and their hearts are broken, and I understand that because my heart was broken. But now that I understand all the different things, I began thinking about that story in Matthew 9, and I thought, what would be the response if that child suddenly set up in that casket? Well, but I know she's been resurrected, and I know that I will see her again someday. But what happened? If you would have a child that dies, and you went to the funeral, and in the casket, the little child, and the child just set up, I think all the followers of Christ would be raised from the dead too, right? Those who have been spiritually resurrected in this life will be physically resurrected in the next life. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will be raised to life, and those who have done what is evil will be condemned. Now, that's a heart-wrenching thing. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the right side. This is how our friend Jesus is. His words are more than a systematic theology. You know, we have to do this, we have to do that. Thoughts, theology is nothing more than your thoughts about God and your belief system. And Jesus' words are living syllables of prophecy spoken by the Creator of all things. The one who has supremacy over everything and holds all things together to help us navigate through this journey of time that we are in this world that he created. What a wonderful gift. Now, we live in a season where there's tremendous turmoil, a lot of confusion, and a lot of evil and violence and destruction and demonstrations and challenge. Yeah, even in America. I think these malaise will intensify before they get better. But I would also want to encourage you not to focus your attention on that. As I said, I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puckbees. But because of the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the promise coming again of our friend Jesus, we need to think about our spiritual resurrection from death to life. And it's your resurrection too, to come. So when he returns, don't ignore him. Now I want to give you a little proclamation or prayer, whatever you want to call it. And I want to recite it, but if you would like to claim it for your own, it's a very simple prayer for simple people. I believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. He is the Lord of my life. I choose to live for his glory and purpose, and I serve at his pleasure. And I will see the triumph of my King in the land of the living. He has rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and has accepted me into his eternal kingdom. So when Jesus comes again, I will meet him and take my place in his heavenly kingdom. And it is his precious name that I pray. Amen. Well, just know that God loves you and so do we. And, you know, you can have that personal relationship with Jesus as your friend. And he is your friend. That's why he loved you so much that he died for you, so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Any time that you would like to talk more about Jesus as your friend and for us to try to help you develop that relationship, the wonderful people here at Bethel United Methodist Church, I would say all of them, but I don't know about that, but most of them have that personal relationship with Christ, and they have walked this walk in this life, and I know they would always be happy to talk to you about it. I, as the pastor of this little church, are always available. You can give me a call or send me a text or anything I would love to share with you, because we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. Hope and pray you have a good day in Jesus' name. Amen.